Let's get this show on the road. What say you, my friend, Mr. Craven?
And I have a question for you, Barely.
Right off the bat, you have a question for me?
Okay. It's a good Marin question.
Okay.
My Marin question is, what happens when you put a pineapple stick on a guava moon?
I have a pineapple stick?
What's a pineapple stick?
I don't know what a pineapple stick is.
Well, what would you guess happens when you put one on a guava moon?
I would guess you get a sticky, mooey guava?
I don't know either.
So you had this and you wanted to know what the real answer was. You didn't have an answer for me.
I don't have an answer for you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, before we get rolling, I need to say something about today's episode. So a quick public service announcement, if you will. Our guest today is Pepper Coyote from Fox and Pepper. You know, the guys that do the furry concerts, the music and stuff they sing and all that. Because when we said Fox and More, people were like, who? And we had to tell them who they were.
But Fox and Pepper, you don't know who?
Right.
Come on.
Right. Yes. Like, you should know both of the artists. But anyway, so our discussion is with him is more of our discussion with him is more of an adult level to start. So this week's episode, the interview, I'm going to say, is rated NC-17. If you are easily offended or don't desire to hear some quote-unquote off-color words, we strongly suggest, Tavin and I both suggest, that you fast forward through the interview so that you are not offended.
So if you don't like khaki, for example, because that's an off-color.
Khaki is an off-color, as is eggshell or ecru.
It's true. So if you get offended by all those, fast forward through the interview.
This is Barely Furcasting, featuring Tabin and Injured Nerves audio production. Mubark fluff to all the beings in the Potiverse. I am Barely Normal, a co-host on the West Coast. And with me, of course, is Tabin. Hello, Tabin. How is the pup today?
Well, hello there, Barely. Yes, my name is Tabin. I'm a pup. Bark, bark. It's good to be here. Moo, bark, fluff, Barely. I'm doing good. It's been a good day, been a good week, running around and just doing this stuff. How about you, Barely? How's your week been?
My week's been good. The weather is fairly getting nice. I can look out my window and see the cherry blossoms on my cherry tree.
Ooh, nice.
Which I will not cut down like George Washington. I will leave it to be standing.
Nice.
In summary, it's a great day. And as we record this, tomorrow morning, I am heading over to the wonderful city of Bend, Oregon for a long weekend.
Oh, really? What are you doing? Bend's a nice city. What are you doing over there?
Well, it's technically my birthday weekend, although my birthday my birthday was on the 3rd of April now, and this comes out on the 17th, but we didn't get a chance to do things on my weekend because we were trying to book a place in Bend. And the only weekend was this coming weekend.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's a belated weekend for my birthday. Yes.
Well, happy birthday, Mubark Fluff Barely.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you have something now, I think.
I do have something. I was waiting for you.
I'm done. So it's your turn.
Okay. Did you know that April this month is Math Awareness Month?
I was unaware that it was Math Awareness Month.
I guess officially Math and Statistics Awareness Month, but I'm not a statistics pup, more of a math pup, so I just say Math Awareness Month.
So statistically, most people know it's Math Month, not Statistics Month.
Yes, exactly. In honor of Mathematics Awareness Month, I'd like to read a little bit about it, if you would be so kind to let me.
I would love for you to read something about Math Awareness Month.
Mathematics Awareness Month happens in April each year under the auspices. How do you pronounce that?
Auspices.
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 What does that mean?
It means like the generality or the umbrella of.
So that word of the Joint Policy Board for Mathematics, which is composed of the Mathematics Association of America, the American Mathematical Society, the Society for Industrial and Applied Mathematics, and the American Statistical Association. No, the statistics gets last for whatever reason. Math Awareness Week was first celebrated in 1986 with a proclamation by President Reagan. The event was expanded to a full month in 1999. The original week included mostly activities at the national level, such as at the Smithsonian even. But since then, the emphasis has shifted to local and regional activities intended to highlight the importance of mathematics. The Math Hi. Awareness Month website provides a wide range of resources to help individuals and institutions organize activities during the month. Many institutions across the nation will organize special events during April with the goal of highlighting the value, usefulness, and beauty of mathematics. And I must say, I wag about that. There is so much beauty in math. And each year they have a theme. The theme for this year's Mathematics Awareness Month is Mathematics and the Cosmos. For any further that's interested for more information on Mathematics Awareness Month, you can find it on the Math Awareness Month website, which is www.mathaware.org. That's one word, mathaware.org. And so
Math-aware.
That is Math-aware.
Math-aware.
That reminds me of somehow Theratale. If you have to be math aware, try Theratale.
I was sitting with some friends yesterday. The one guy says that that his boss got fired because she was caught doing, and it sounded like he said doing math at work, but he meant meth. But I said,
yeah, don't do math at work.
Don't do math at work. It's a fireable offense. Clearly, nice. Well, shout out to Math Awareness Month. Well, next year we'll have to have a special Math Awareness Month episode. We'll just do all math. Look forward to Math 2022 April episode. It'll be all math. It'll be just math. We'll talk about adding, subtracting, division, calculus, super fragilistic stuff, all sorts
super
of stuff.
Next April. So we'll have like maybe one listener on that episode since we just let them know.
You'll have four downloads that week. Yeah. So
I know it'll be great. It'll be great.
Anyway, so let's get to last week today, shall
okay.
we?
Okay. We shall ask work around.
So you mentioned last week, we were talking about goats and you said, what's a female goat? And we're like, we don't know. So
I forgot about that. That's great.
Right.
And did you find out about that?
I did. And we should know this because it's very common. It's a nanny.
Oh, really?
And yeah, you've heard of nanny goats.
That's the female. Right.
And the male is a billy goat, like the three billy goats Gruff.
I think I knew that actually. I think. Okay. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So it makes sense. So, you know, we should have done that.
And is a doe a female deer, Ray, a drop of Clemson.
It is a female deer, but it also can be a female goat. A doe is also a female goat.
Oh, okay.
As is a, I don't know why you said deer, but it is actually a new, it is actually
either.
A female.
I don't know why I said that either.
And you can call a male buck a male goat a buck. Now, of course, a baby goat is called a kid, as we know that. You know, as is a lamb is called a kid. And are you ready for this? When a nanny is giving birth, she is actually kidding.
I mean, it makes total sense.
Right.
I mean, it's like.
But no, don't kid us. Are you really giving birth? No, I'm kidding. Oh,
no,
well, then
I'm
we don't
kidding.
Need to show
I'm
up.
Sorry. I caused drama. I made us go to the hospital and everything. But no, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
I was just kidding. Yeah. So I think that's what awesome. We should call people giving birth. I'm kidding.
No more people giving birth.
And the other thing was you had mentioned the draw wolf face, and I went to the website.
I should go to the website.
Well, you said it was a meme, and then I looked, I googled it. I'd used the Googler, and the Googler, you know, I said draw wolf face, and that whole website came up where you can then draw
wolf face.
On the wolf face. I tried it and it looked like somebody had stepped on the wolf face, so I didn't save it to their website.
Okay.
So my drawing is not up there, but there are some drawings that are just amazing.
I have seen some just on the Twitter. I've seen some really like that's really good wolfy face.
I do like all the cartoon ones that people did though, because that makes it really kind of funny.
So I tweeted. I didn't realize it was a website. So I had tweeted, could some fur send me like the original draw wolf face? Some fur responded to that tweet and said, oh no, What crazy puppy thing is Taven going to draw for Wolfface? So
we have nothing for our mailbag, so we can just gloss over that unless you have something that came in.
So, you know, we're in quarantine and everything. And so my honey has been like ordering war off Amazon, because what else are you going to do? Just
wait a minute. Ordering war?
More.
Oh, more.
Yeah.
No, my, like, do they come to your house and shoot you? I don't understand.
My honey is fed up. He's just going to go to Amazon and order war. It's, you know, with Prime these days, you get the war right away.
Right away within 72 hours. The war comes right to your door. Right.
But do you realize how many Amazon points you get for ordering war from them? It's amazing. But so he's ordering more. And so every now and then there's some stuff. And so I think it was today, I didn't hear any of the Amazon trucks or anything. So I'm just sitting around doing my thing, whatever, fluffing my tail, stuff. And honey comes home, brings stuff in, and it's like there's like mountains of stuff that he's got. So I guess we had a mail bag and it was a mountain of stuff.
A mail mountain.
Actually, it was non-binary, so it was a they mountain.
Oh, a they mountain. Okay.
Yeah. Not a male mountain.
I'm going to leave you alone. This is dangerous, but I'm going to leave you alone for like 3 minutes. You have to entertain the listeners while I'm gone for 3 minutes.
I don't know what's happening right now, and all of a sudden, I am scaredy fluff. Where is Barely going? And why is he? I don't know. Now I have my thoughts that are, hi, how is every fur doing out there in the furry potiverse and stuff? I don't know. Hi. I did not expect him to just leave like that. So I'll just say, hi, how are you? I think last time he did this, I got worried about the buildings and why they call them buildings when they're already built. And why do they have international highways in Hawaii? Because there's like an ocean and things like that. There's this thing I was wondering about the other day. Maybe you first can help me out. I was wondering, when you pull a paragrama fruit, not the paragram fruit, but the paragrama. That's a paragrama. It's like you've got two mothers of your mother, I guess, a paragrama. And when you pull their fruit off the trees, do they then find the grandpa involved so that the cousin of the antelope can move in on the fluff that is the armadillo? That is my question to you. And Barely, you're back. So
I'm back.
You'll have to let us know the answer. So the next time today,
oh no,
is okay. You have this question to answer now.
Oh no. Okay.
And see what you did.
I know. It's always fun to leave you alone for a few minutes because I never know what's going to happen until I listen to it later on. So with the mailbag, I see that you said you wanted to ask me a question.
Oh yeah, I do. Yes. Barely, what do you call a sandwich in a donut shop?
I don't know. What do you call a sandwich in a donut shop?
A sandwich. Okay, now you ask me.
Taben, what do you call a sandwich in a donut shop?
A sandwich. Okay, now ask me again.
Taben, what do you call a sandwich in a donut shop?
I don't know, Barely. What do you call a sandwich in a donut shop?
A sandwich.
Exactly. Now ask me, what did we just do?
Taben, what did we just do?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. We need to get to our media section.
Okay. I think that would be wonderful.
So we went ahead and watched another episode of Solar Opposites. I think I've mentioned that before. It's a great little show.
Nice. I'll have to look into that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Hulu. And then today, I ordered two of Rick Griffin's books.
Oh, cool.
The two new series he has for the White Flower books. The first one is called Traitors, Thieves, and Liars. And book two we talked about before was Captain's Oath.
Ah, yes.
So I hope to read both of those. Well, so the funny thing about the Amazon Kindle, I don't know if you have an Amazon Kindle or if you read books on Amazon.
No.
When you open up a book on Amazon Kindle, I didn't know this, it gives you this little information about the book. Clearly they're tracking you because it says, most readers finish this book in 6 hours. I'm like, really?
There's only one way that they would know that.
There's only one way they know that as to how long that book is open over how many people over the time. It's like, I don't know that I want that much information being sent to Amazon.
What you should do is like just open it and keep it open for a week. Just make sure the Kindle stays open for a week.
then every day just turn, like, or every day turn a page,
or every day turn a page, and then Amazon will take it into its average, and like, on average, people finish this in a year.
Bring that average up. People will look at the book. I don't want to read it then, but then that would hurt the author, so they won't want to read it.
It's a conundrum.
A conundrum. That's a big word.
It is. I don't know if I even know what it means. Does it mean something about what you do with a cantaloupe?
You cantaloupe because the ladder's broke.
That's it.
So what about you? What have you been watching on television and media? What's your media for the week?
It's actually been a busy week for what we've been watching. I don't even know how we got all this in. So of course we've continued watching Lucifer, and we finished whatever I was talking about last week. We finished a thing, and then we didn't have the next disc in. So we started watching Mike and Molly, the newest season. I remember you said you started watching it and you weren't too into it. And, you know, we watched it, and then we watched season 3, which wasn't good at all, if I remember right. But we're watching again the next season, and it's good. We're liking it. So we got done with one disc, and then the next disc wasn't going to come until the next day, and we needed something. So we watched the first episode, which is actually a double lengther, of something called Sick Note. Have you heard of this show?
I have not heard of this Sick Note.
You could think, as you would be lying in bed for days on that note, I guess. Do you remember what was his name in Harry Potter? Weasley?
Ron Weasley, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. He's the star, actually, of this show. And it's based in the UK, I think. And it's about, so he gets a horrible, horrible medical condition that's like life-changing and everything, but it turns out that it was a misdiagnosis. He tries to be good and come clean about it, but then, well, because of things he can't, but then that elicits other things that happen, and hilarity ensues. And
hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues. And it ends that double-parter, the pilot, with that. So it's actually, I think we'll watch it again, but then the next disc of Mike and Molly came in, so we've continued watching that. But no, it was actually pretty good. And by the way, hilarity ensues. That comes from a long time ago. Well, can't be too long ago, but at one point we had a Netflix, you know, on the sleeve, they have their own little synopsis of the thing. Mm-hmm. And I forget what show it was or whatever, what movie, but it has a synopsis. And the last sentence of the synopsis is, you guessed it, it says, hilarity ensues. Me and honey, that's what we say all the time, hilarity ensues.
Well, you know, that's going to be the end of the tagline for this episode.
I think it now has to be, hilarity ensues. And we actually watched, count them, not one, but two movies this week, too.
Two movies?
One was called The High Road, which I guess maybe I didn't like it too much because I forgot what it was about when I was remembering. And I looked up.
Wait a minute, you forgot while you were remembering?
I forgot while I was remembering, which means it can't be. I seem to remember it was good though, but I looked it up on Wikipedia to remember what it was about, and I was starting to look through the synopsis. I still don't remember watching the movie. So,
were you sleeping through it, or did you watch the whole thing?
I think I watched the whole thing. I don't.
Wow, that's funny.
I'm not really sure what happened there. So I guess shout out to that movie.
Right? What was it called?
High Road. H-I-G-H.
High Road.
High Road.
Oh, was it about marijuana?
The main storyline is, and again, this is only because this is reading the synopsis online. The main guy is an ex-drummer from a Los Angeles band that sells marijuana and is also, I don't know, he has a goat. I'm not really sure what else, but that's what I can remember about it. The other movie I do remember something about is called The Kid Who Would Be King. Have you seen this, Barely?
I've heard of it, but I haven't. I don't know that I've seen it. Is it Arthurian legend?
Yes. I have seen it.
Yes. Yeah. I have seen it. Yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And also Patrick Stewart is in it.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
He actually played
Earl Grey, hot.
With Tad Fish. bowl.
Tadfish. Oh, that's right. The bowl that got the
lion. Yeah. It's actually that. Yeah. So shout out any further that doesn't know what we're talking about. Listen to some. There's some episodes.
One of the episodes in the past. Yeah. Just go back and listen to them all.
Just go listen to them all. You'll find it somewhere. No, he actually plays the adult Merlin.
Well, that's good because he's an adult.
It is. It is. It would be hard for him to pull off the 13-year-old that the show is actually about.
Yeah. But because he's like 70. So yeah.
Yeah, but it was a really good, as you say, Aetherian. So, you know, it's about a 13-year-old that finds Excalibur and everything like that. And it's actually pretty good. I liked it.
Nice.
And cool. That was a very, very jam-packed media for the week that we did.
It was. And now we should get to our 5-minute furs for fun.
Oh, 5-minute furs for fun.
Joining us for 5-minute furs today is Ink from the great country of Ireland.
Wow. Yeah. And what time is it for you now, Ink?
Right now for me, it is 2:15 on Friday morning. It is the 9th of April. So I'm once again time traveling for a podcast appearance. So
nice. And what is Friday? I'm still Thursday. What does Friday look like?
It's cold. It's cold.
Cold. Okay, oh, no. I'll be ready to get my puppy blankie and curl up for tomorrow. Because right now it's fine. But it's good to know that tomorrow is going to be cold.
Definitely. Like, we're supposed to be getting snow this weekend in Ireland, which is strange anyways, because we never get snow.
In April?
So,
yeah, in April. We got snow the first week of February, and it was like it was like covered in the news for like most of the news that like Ireland got snow. What the heck? Wow,
I bet.
So twice incredible. In 1 year is like mind-boggling.
Wow. Well, you know, global warming, what can you do?
Mm-hmm. You can warm up with a blankie. That's what you can do.
Yes.
So, Ink, tell us a little bit about yourself. What brings you to our podcast, and makes you what you are?
Well, hello. My name is Ace. My persona name is Ink. Obviously, I'm from Ireland, like I've said, and if my accent doesn't give it away, I'm host of Ireland's only furry podcast, Furry Trash, which started in January 2020. I've been interviewed by some of Ireland's biggest YouTubers, such as Clazair. I've been on multiple podcast shows, both furry and non-furry, and I just love the media and furry stuff, and I just love Pokemon and RuPaul's Drag Race and Harry Potter and all the kind of nerdy shtick. So, that's all.
Nerdy shtick. I love it.
I got a nerdy snick that too. And I like it when furs like throw my shtick and my schnick and I run after it. And it's a lot of work because when they're both thrown at the same time, I get like really confused. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even know.
Do they throw your schball too?
They do. And then I get confused because I don't even know what that is.
Well, in Ireland, we'd call that a leroid. So, like, that's a ball in Irish.
A leroid.
Why is it a leroy?
No, it just is. I asked the people who made the Irish language, I guess. Like, for years, there wasn't a word for computer. It was just, like, shinné, computer. And then it was, like, shinné, computer again. And then someone was like, do you know what, actually people have been calling a computer in Irish for so long, might as well give it a word. And now it's a reivera.
A reivera. Mm-hmm. Wow. Have too much fun over there in Ireland. I tell you.
Oh yeah.
Just make up words for things. That's nice.
Definitely.
So, I've never been known to make up a word.
So what's your native tongue? Is it Gaelic or is it something else?
Well, I speak like English and Irish, but mainly online I will speak English. I've learned when I get nervous, I tend to just like start talking in Irish and forget people can't understand me. And I just start panicking. It happened to me. I was doing this like Twitch stream once and I was like sitting here and I was so nervous that my hands were sweating. And I was like, oh no, I can't think. I can't think. And I just started like spurting out words in Irish. And I was like, oh no, one knows what I'm saying here.
That's wonderful. What do words in Irish sound like?
Sound like? Irish, I guess. I don't know. Like, some things don't make sense. Like, for example, the word for cake or like sweet cake or birthday cake is all the same word. So cock and millish is technically like cake of sweets, but it doesn't like literally translate. So it's just like, I don't know. Eat it, I guess.
You all have your own like little secret language lingo. I don't know. That's fun. That's exciting. I wag right now about it.
I think every language has their own slang and their own stuff. I mean, you know, every language does. There's just mm-hmm. it's just the way it is. So
do puppies have their own language?
I don't know. Like, I mean, there is a Twitter page for Irish furries called Irish Furries. It's literally just Irish furries on Twitter. Okay. Figuratively and literally, and sometimes you'll have people who speak Irish way better than I will, because I like the sound of Irish, but I can't like speak it fluently. Like, I'll get what you're saying, but it'll take me a minute. And okay. Like, I did a vlog for St. Patrick's Day in Irish, and like, I hadn't spoken Irish on camera before, and the clip itself in the video is only like a minute long, but even though I would never admit it, that like minute took me like 2.5 hours because I was getting so perfectionized what I was saying.
Well, it's a really good thing that you didn't just admit it.
Oh, totally not. No, I don't know where you get that from. Never
admit that. Oh, quick question then. Is St. Patrick's Day celebrated in Ireland?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. The last 2 years have been strange because pandemic.
Right.
Which kind of put a hindrance on stuff. Like last year we kind of got away with it because we know we're Irish, we find a way around everything, but this year it was very, very tough on people. Like, it's not as big as people would think it is. Like, say in the States, it's a lot smaller than that, but the traditional, or like the quote traditional stuff, is like people sitting in the pub having a pint, talking about stuff, and just kind of, I was going to stop there, but I'm being very careful that I am talking to Americans, so I'm gonna watch my mouth.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it 100%. So, well, tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel. What do you cover on your YouTube channel?
My channel has been a blessing and a curse. I have wanted to do like radio and podcasting and media and like all that kind of fun creator shtick for a while. I tried YouTube for a couple of years, didn't work. As you can tell, I definitely have the face for radio and not for video. My bed head right now is amazing, I have to say. The best in the whole world.
It doesn't get any better than this. In the whole world. Stays, like, that's consistent. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 2:30 in the morning here, so this is the height of fashion, I have to say.
I love the fashion there at 2:00 a.m. in Ireland, I must say.
So on my channel, I like talk about furries in the media. I obviously talk about my podcast. There's Furries in the Media is a like platform, like, playlist I have where I talk about furries in the media, such as like Anthony Padilla's interview with Naya Okami, or the interview with the Lisa Ling documentary with like Captain Boones and Lely Espanyol.
I was in that. You can see me in that like 4 or 5 times actually.
Really? I didn't know that. You're gonna have to send me on the timestamp of that so I can be like, oh, that's Taven.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, that was Anthro Northwest, and they were there. And I mean, you know, the first 3 segments, of course, I'm not in because that was all about like what it was about. But in the 4th segment, you can see me running around. But like, this pup runs around all over the place anyway, so it's not too much of a surprise. And then at the A&W, after it came out on the CNN, they had a panel just displaying it. And then they had all those 3 main furs on there, and so we got to talk to them, and it was very cool and very special. Anyway, yeah, no, I know all about that CNN special because it was very good and special.
Can I just say that was like the hardest video for me to get because it's so tightly VPN locked. I had to like jump around so many like loopholes and back doors. Wow. I eventually had to get like a screen recording of a screen recording, so the quality was amazing. Oh, wow. Just so I could make a little video for my channel, for then YouTube to copyright strike me, and then I had to bring up my big history and politics words, like actually and culturally, like, and write an email to YouTube being like, it's commentary under section 100 and whatever it is, you know, freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And I think someone in YouTube was like, oh, we just could not be arsed dealing with this grand approvish.
Fine. Exactly. Just get away. Yeah. Nice.
Right. So. Well, Ink, our time is up. Thank you for joining us for 5 Minute Furs.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you for trying once again to get in, and it's great that you did. We will look for you in the BFFT chat.
And I will try and find those timestamps and post them in the BFFT chat.
Thank you.
Yay.
Okay. I'm going to go to bed. Thank you so much for having me.
Good night. Good night.
Let's get to our guest this week. You know, it's Pepper. He's waiting in the wings.
Oh, my Lord. Last week today. I didn't do my last week today.
Did you forget a last week today?
I did.
Well, how did you forget a last week today? Okay, hit the rewind button. Okay, so last week today, you have something, Tabin.
I do. So last week we talked about... How did I... It's in front of my face. It's right there.
It's right there. It's like...
right there, my cow. I'm a little bit of a pup, it turns out.
Everybody take a drink. He said, oh, my cow.
Oh, my cow. Indeed. So last week, we were talking about HAL 9000 and the how he says on Odysseys, I think it was a 2001.
Yes.
Would you like to play a game of chess? And so yes. Something else I wanted to say then that I forgot, because in the previous episode, right. We were talking about this, and you had said, and this is something I didn't know, you had said that Hal had made a mistake or an illegal move or something like that. And you right. know, I'm a bit of a chess pup, so that got me all right. excited and ears perk, and so I wanted to find out about that. And I did, and I meant to say it on last week's episodes, last okay. week today, but I realized the other day mm-hmm. that I had not done that. So I want okay. to talk about well, that. Now.
Okay, well, tell us about the illegal move that HAL 9000 made in a 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Now that I took 5 hours to lead up to that, it turns out that, so right, in the very beginning of the movie, HAL is playing chess with Frank, you know, they're doing it and stuff. And actually, it's really cool. They have the actual game and analysis of the game, like official chess game on like mm-hmm. Wikipedia and stuff. You can actually look it up and play through the game, and everything is really cool. At one point, Hal says to Frank, I'm sorry, Frank, I think you missed it. Queen to bishop 3, bishop takes queen, knight takes bishop, mate. So, and after that, Frank says, okay, well, I resign now, because after that, like Hal did some stuff anyway. So mm-hmm. That caused Frank to resign. But so it wasn't actual moves that he made, but it was his theoretical saying, oh, Frank, you could have done this and you could have won. But actually, it shouldn't have been queen to bishop 3. It should have been queen to bishop 6. Hmm. And so that was the mistake. And so because of that mistake, which Frank didn't know, he resigned. But if he would not have made that mistake, the game could have gone on. So that was the mistake that was made in the beginning of, and actually it's interesting because apparently the director, Stanley Kubrick.
Kubrick, yes.
Kubrick was a, like chess, like he loved chess. He was all about chess and stuff. So he would not have made this mistake. I mean, so the question is like, did Hal make a mistake? Was there a mistake in the actual script of the show? And it's like, the thought is like Stanley would not have made this actual mistake because he's all chess and everything like that. And he's OCD about and whatever. It's actually a really interesting side conundrum. It's like, what really happened there? And there's theory about that maybe this was initial piece of evidence of Hal's eventual misfunction in the show. So anyway, I thought that was very interesting and cool. And that's my last week today.
Our guest today is Pepper Coyote of Fox and Peppers. So let's get to that.
Let's talk to Pepper Coyote. I Weg.
Joining us today on the show is Pepper Coyote. Welcome to the show, Pepper.
Hello, hello. What's hello. Going on, everybody?
Hello.
Well, you know, it's great to have you on the show. We've been trying for months to get you on the show, and it's nice to have finally landed you.
I'm the weirdest, like, millennial in that I have regressed where usually, like, oh, the kids these days, if I got a message on TikTok or Insta, your gram, and it's like, for me, I need an email. In 1998.
Yeah. Nice. like with the AOL, you got mail. If you don't get the you got mail sound, then you don't even know about it.
Right. Know, right. Right. Yeah. It's funny how we started with AOL, like running a meter pay per minute internet. And mm-hmm. now we're cycling back to now people want pay per minute internet.
Right. Yeah.
That's considered like, oh, it's a luxury service. Like you don't use very much internet. You don't pay for much internet. We're like, wow.
Right.
Oh, the only thing we've changed is not mailing people physical CDs.
Right. Yeah. Everything's virtual.
That's true. So. That's true.
So let's get right into it. And first off, let's let's talk about the elephant in the room, because you caused quite a ruckus on Twitter in March over the COVID vaccinations. Was the ruckus intentional? Did you cause it intentionally?
I guess to summarize for if people don't know or haven't heard, I guess that's the quote unquote good news is that in general, like when you originally emailed me saying, hey, is it okay if we talk about this? The heat was much more palpable, where now it's cooled down quite a bit. And I'm glad for that. That means that people on some level have some kind of faith in me. But I did another bad tweet. And let me say, like, right up front, I'm not here to defend tweets. I have acknowledged that the tweets I sent were bad in that they did not communicate the message that I wanted. And that is not to say that it's anyone's fault but mine for that. Like, it's I am absolutely not going to get up here and say, oh, you mere simpletons could not comprehend the message I was trying to put forth. That is not the attitude I want to have.
No.
Like, I have enough evidence now 10 times over that I am just not good at Twitter as a medium.
Okay. Yeah, I have similar problems with my stuff. Sometimes you put something out there and in your brain, you're like, hey, this makes perfect sense to me. And then the next thing you know, there's all sorts of things coming down at you. So what was the issue specifically that caused the hubbub, the hullabaloo, if you will?
Well, the thing on everybody's mind right now is vaccinations in one way or another against COVID. And I got out. So here, the backstory to the tweet, here's all the stuff going into it that makes it, like you just said, make a ton of sense to me. Like, oh, of course, I understand what I am saying. But it becomes very obvious for anyone else, like, jumping in when I send the tweet out, which is the point where people, they can't read my mind.
Right.
Where it goes wrong really quickly. I have a roommate, friend, same thing, who they have various medical reasons why they need to get the vaccine as soon as humanly possible. Reasons that if you talked to any doctor, the CDC, if you talked to any human who thinks about the thing and like makes a decision, they would agree, yeah, they probably need that vaccine. And they did end up getting it, but only because they had another person who, like, an older person who, like, I qualify because I'm 90 years old, but here's how I did it. I called this number, and then they were cool and made the appointment happen. Then they call, appointment happens, they get it, but it's not because of their medical reason. It's because of some employment technicality specific to Arizona. So we drive them through the thing. We go through the, we're lucky enough that we live near a big old mass vaccination site, and we drive through an NFL stadium parking lot. They stick a needle in your arm. It's like a drive through. it's good. I think that's like a positive as far as the Arizona government doing something. I'm like, good move.
Right. And right. Yeah.
Thank you, NFL.
There you go. Yeah.
It was weird to say. Thank you, NFL.
Good move. We don't thank them very often. No, no.
It's usually just yelling at Goodell, and you're like, good move, Goodell.
Right.
This is your one. You get this one thing. After this happens, I start going like, well, what do I qualify for a vaccine? I go and I read the rules, and it turns out that I qualify for pretty much the same job technicality that they got in for. So I essentially on a whim through our vaccination thing go, cool, here's my employer, blah, 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 and it just goes, your appointment is this day. I'm like, oh my God, okay, I have an appointment. Let's go get this vaccine. Yeah, weirdly easy, because all you hear about is people fighting through the system. Also, by the way, this was not on the way the vaccine works in Arizona, different in every state, at least where we are for the mass vaccination sites. You get spots for it, much like how one tries to get a PlayStation 5. You go to a website and you hit refresh over and over and over again, and you hope that a spot's there. And people, the same way that like...
Or like trying to get into a con.
Trying to get into a hotel room block.
Yeah.
The same situation. I got a vaccine and a room spot at BLFC here.
Nice.
You're the luckiest internet person alive.
Right?
Right?
Wow.
But it's a two-for-one deal thing.
Yeah, right? They come as a package. Oh, that would be the best deal of all time. It's like, come to the FurCon, receive free vaccine. Who's going to have that promo? So I go to the thing, I go through the drive-thru same way, and I come back, and this is where I start tweeting. Not only was my credentials not checked, I had my supervisor on standby in case I needed a call. They had written me an email like, here, blah, blah, I certify that they do this. I had a pay stub of how, but my job that qualifies me to get it. I had all that stuff in the car. They did not even ask me for my ID. They didn't even, and the appointment just has my name printed out. And that there's no picture, there's no barcodes. It's just like I could have just typed that in Outlook and sent it to myself.
Or AOL, for that matter.
Yeah, right? Or AOL. I showed them my AIM messenger, and it's right. Vaccine approved. So I go through this, and I get on Twitter, and I say, guys, if you have... I don't remember my exact tweet, but I tried to say, if you have a thing that means you need a vaccine, read the rules. Oh, a key phrase that upset a lot of people was I said, exploit every technicality you can and get your vaccine. The government is going to keep moving it back. Like that. This was also the day that Arizona announced that they were going to kick back in line certain medical conditions and essential workers to go 55 plus. And that's like 55 is the only requirement, like only age, which no doctor agrees with. Like,
right.
Everyone around's like, bad move. And in the spirit of bad move, I got on Twitter to complain about it in a way that made the message that was received was, guys, I just got a vaccine and it was super easy. I cut in line through illegitimate means. Everyone should do this.
And, right. Yeah, that was.
So that's not what you were saying.
That is not what I wanted.
No, it was. And I kind of picked up on that. So if you could go back in time, would you do it differently?
Well, after talking to people who were close to me, my personal friends, a couple of, at least one who happened to be a like medical professional, like they did things in that tweet that were bad, regardless of interpretation, where I really should not be publicly broadcasting how easy it is to exploit loopholes for this. I'm thinking in the same way, because it can basically cause like a bum rush on the vaccine. Just people just start showing up and jumping lines, and then suddenly security has to get tighter. And I know all of this now seems very, very obvious. And I just was not thinking of that at the time I tweeted it. So that part, genuinely, I'm just sorry. Bad tweet. Shouldn't have said it. Sorry I said it. There's a reason the thing is deleted.
Yeah.
So that I would absolutely do differently. I'm thinking about it in the same way of if someone qualifies for any other benefit, like a Medicaid or something. Like, I know people who make no money, and it's like, yo, you could get free healthcare from the government right now. You just have to do the paperwork. And they either through like some weird feeling of guilt, or like, no, you pay taxes. Like, you've paid already for this. Like, you've been paying your entire life for this social safety net. You need to take advantage. The vaccine, in a weird way, is almost kind of, I'm scared in the future, because do you remember, since then, they had a whole, like, a shareholder meeting came out from Pfizer or whatever, and they were talking about, oh, don't worry, investors, we're going to say that you need a third vaccine, and we're going to charge this much, my eyes are like, this is what I'm talking about. It's just going to, by the time they get around to giving it to the Wendy's employees and the actual frontline workers that keep the country operating, the people who are delivering your food and, like, picking up your trash, by the time they get it, it's going to be like, well, all right, $85 a pop if you have insurance. And if you don't, like, can't you just imagine that happen? Like, America does this stuff all the time. Yeah, this is the attitude I have coming at it. And it just is in no way what came out of it. It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
It's also my fault. Let me say that again. This is no one's fault but mine. I wrote the tweet. I could have written it better. That is the problem. No one else's problem. It's not your fault for interpreting it wrong. It is my fault for writing it in a way that caused that. That's how words work. I just want to repeat that over and over in case someone wants to clip part of this interview.
I'm sure we'll get something, but how could you have him on your show?
That's why I say Twitter, because podcasts, I have a podcast where I just talk about politics, like uncensored, just ranting. Not even close, like the level of what could be taken as controversial or out of context, it's not even close. I think it's just a thing of if I only have one or tweets to work with or text to work with without any of my, you can see my camera feed. I'm very emotive when I'm talking. I'm like arm waving the whole thing. Yeah. I have the Bernie Sanders hands where I'm just constantly pointing and gesturing at things.
It's a combination of Bernie Sanders and jazz hands all over the place.
I do genuinely splay my fingers and do just straight up jazz hands all the time.
Bernie Sanders jazz hands.
He's got arthritis. His hands are shriveled up.
So clearly your politics, really anybody that follows you anywhere knows that your politics are out there for the world.
They're out there in the left direction to be seen.
And you make no bones about it. You know, it's not a secret. So let's chat a little bit about something that became politically charged, if you will, in the BLM protests up in Portland. Your song. Now, even though we are PG-13, I'm going to say the name of the song because it was horsefucker.
Oh, you have gone. I want to know what you think the title of the song is now. Like, keep guessing.
I know. What is the title of the song?
It is No Cock Like Horse Cock.
Oh, okay.
Is the full title. Okay. NCLHC.
Okay. Well, title of the song. So they use that. I remember somebody asked you if you minded if they used that at the protests.
Oh, yeah. The sequence of events was there was a tweet that just that was, we're blasting music at the cops. And it happened to be my very inappropriate comedy song that's mm-hmm. full of talking about a horse, a silicone device modeled to represent
a horse's member.
Parts of a horse, yes. See, I can speak clinically.
Yes.
But there was an audio clip of them blasting that at the police. There is a this isn't no secret anymore. There's a tactic that it's used both in both directions, so it's not mm-hmm. like a good or bad. It just is a tactic of when you're doing videos or no people are taping to play copyrighted music. So sometimes they'll blast that at the police to like mess up other people's live streams, so they can't like if ultra right wing people are live streaming a thing and they want to mess it up, they'll do that. That also happens in the opposite direction. But for that reason, there's just a lot of speakers and music at protests. Mm-hmm. Also, it just keeps people entertained because once you stand around in the dark for like 4 hours, it's like, what are we doing? You gotta have some tunes. You gotta have some food.
Yeah,
some music. Yeah. If you've ever been to a street protest in the U.S., everyone I've been to is kind of like a low-key block party. And you're mm-hmm. just standing around and there's music. Sometimes there's live music. Everyone I've been to in Phoenix has a dance team. Like, they'll just be like, all right, everybody! And everyone's like, bears. And then a dance routine takes place. And then the protest resumes.
Nice.
Yeah.
So did you ever feel that your music shouldn't be used during these protests?
Oh, yes. I started and then stopped the sequence of events. So after the tweet, someone tagged me in it. And then I replied, like, to be clear, I approve of the use of any protest usage of my music that is not for profit is A-okay with me. That got slapped around a little bit. And then, wasn't it? Is it Matt Baume or Matt Baumer? They're a journalist / YouTuber. They have an excellent series on if you just
yes.
they do old sitcoms or 90s, 80s, 70s instances of queerness. Or so it'll be like, oh, the Mary Tyler Moore Show had a lesbian on it in 1957 or whatever. And he'll go through it. It's a really cool channel. It's like uplifting. It's positive. It's fun. Like,
he's from Seattle. He writes The Slog. And
he's going to be on the show.
He's going to be on our show. Yeah, we locked him in as a guest.
I was like, look at me, I'm hyping up your so tune in.
In a few weeks for Matt Baum. That's who it is.
Baum. I got it right the first time. I don't know.
Yeah, you did. Baum. You did. He's a furry too, by the way.
Is he? Is he like
yeah.
completely confirmed?
Completely like, confirmed. Yep.
Confirmed. Yep. Yes. Yep. I like how we did that at the exact same time. That was amazing.
Have they been to the Seattle Con? Have we like seen each other and
probably
that's
probably. Funny. Yeah.
Well, they called me to do an interview for a non-furry thing about this exact subject, and then that made it even more visible, where they're like, oh, what's this thing? You know, it's like three paragraphs, which is about all it deserves, because I didn't really do anything. I just said you could use my music. By the way, that holds true. Also, if anyone here is a Twitch streamer and is getting mad about the DMCA things, just use my music. It's not part of any content ID anything, so if you get flagged, it's not me, and it's fraudulent, and go yell at Twitch.
Yell at Twitch. Yell at YouTube. This is fraudulent. This is fraudulent.
Did you experience that whole, like, the streamer meltdown of music recently?
No.
Everyone was getting kicked off Twitch because Twitch suddenly started doing what YouTube does, where it auto-detects your copyright music. I used to be kind of, I don't know, proud? I'm not quite the right word. But when YouTube, if I would do a cover song, put it on YouTube, and then YouTube would copyright flag me for it, I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. cool. I did close enough of a rendition. Gross, didn't do what song. But now, I'll play three chords from something in the middle of a two-hour show as a joke, and it's like, got it. That's this song, and you, like, you're in trouble, mister. But, and if they actually are wrong, what can you do about it? Nothing. There's nothing.
Nothing you can do to it. So has your political aspects of your life had any impact on the furry community? Are they two separate lives or do they cross over much?
So when people hear like my politics, I think what they imagine is like me proselytizing, where I'm going around like being an evangelical communist.
Say
or
that
something.
Word again. That was very confusing for me.
Proselytizing. That's a
word.
That's usually used in a religious context where if someone comes door to door, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're like, let me tell you about our God. Like, that's proselytized.
Yes.
Usually.
I kind of prefer puppetizing, but that'll work too. That'll work.
Once you say puppetize, it sounds more like Captain Crunch.
Yes.
But in general, what I consider like my politics are really just like my set of core values and beliefs. So if anything, that's what I try to have like a coherent set of things of like, this is what is acceptable in my opinion and what is not. And this is how I think thing, like this is what I think justice is. And that's what I try to build on in how I interact with everyone else in the world. Because if I had all of my leftist political beliefs and then was walking around in my everyday life, like sneering at homeless people and like, you know, like I refuse to have the same cognitive dissonance that we point out on Twitter all day in various dunks. So it's not so much that they can't be separate, because that's, I like to think that's part of my character. And if that's also how I kind of vet my political beliefs, because if it's something that I can't accept as part of something that I believe wholly, I do not make that part of my beliefs. So I try not to be obnoxious about it, but I try to use it as an excuse to treat people better in the world.
Well, that's good. We have beat the horse on the political aspect of it. So let's jump into furry world and all the furry things that you do. And I'm going to let Tabin take over from here and ask the questions. And I might ask a clarifying question, but Tabin, the floor and the mic is yours.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening, Pepper?
I'm getting back to we're now in the portion of like quarantine weirdness that I'm going to refer to as killing time, where like the vaccine now is out and we're all just waiting for enough people to have it. So that's how I'm doing. And I feel like I'm just watching cartoons, trying not to get near anyone.
Are you back in the classroom yet?
Well, that's the thing. I haven't taught in a couple years. And that was part of my Twitter thing where they're like, Pepper is lying because we know he no longer is a public school teacher. So he can't have the job he claims. I'm like, no, I have a different job, but I don't want to tell you about it because you're going to mess it up for me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's totally gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
please, you got to trust me on something here. I'm not going to post my social security number. I can't put my tax returns up. Well, I feel like, because as soon as I said that, I remembered the previous president. I'm like, maybe if that mattered to someone, I guess I would. I don't have anything to hide.
I don't have anything to hide. So neat. So you watch cartoons and you do things.
I'm in the middle of Adventure Time right now. I'm in season 7 or 8. Very good. Like, if you're an adult, it's even better, actually.
I have not seen it. I've been told that Adventure Time is, like, really good, but I have not watched it. I need to write that
11-minute
down.
Episodes. That's the biggest hook. You watch really? It's 11 minutes. Yeah, because it's like the half-hour two cartoons format, but they're separate. Oh. You don't have to watch them in pairs.
Ah, okay. I am going to write that down now because I need to Adventure Time.
It's like a little YouTube video. You just watch 10 minutes. They cram, like, an entire plot. Too much plot into 10 minutes.
But unlike YouTube, you don't have 15 minutes of them telling you to like, subscribe, ring the bell. Here's an advertisement. Oh. And now I'll get to the stuff I want to talk to you about.
On a rant about that. What was it, last week, I think? A
couple of weeks ago, yeah.
This pup doesn't rant very much, but I had a rant about that because, oh my Lord, it's just, anyway, okay, I won't get into that now. Pepper, where does the coyote come from? Tell us about the Pepper.
Oh, I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I was born in Erie, PA, I think. And then from age 2 to 20, whatever, like after I graduated college and such, I was in Crawford County, Pennsylvania, where no one lives. The town I grew up in has the same population now as it did before the Civil War.
So it hasn't grown too much.
It went up and it was 800, then it almost crested 1,000, and now it's right back to 800. I don't know how it's possible.
Is it one of those towns where when a baby's born, somebody goes out to the sign, erases the number, and puts another one in there?
You may as well. It used to be like a one gas station town, but then they took out the gas station.
Nice.
It's just nothing there.
There's nothing.
But then I went to college for music education, and I was trained in voice. Voice was my like instrument concentration. And it's like classical style singing, so like opera, if you want to think about the kind of music I was learning and the kind of technique I was studying. Luckily, my instructor was cool about me also being in a rock band on the side, because I've always loved rock and pop and bluegrass. My mom was very into bluegrass and like 80s country. And then I started writing and I taught myself guitar. And for the last 10 years, I've been doing... for the last 10 years, I've been an independent musician, because I've only been freelance for the last year and a half. but there's been 10 years of concerted, like, I am producing music to attempt to make a living, like playing shows, selling CDs, trying to market myself. And that really took off within the furry fandom. Not like I was finding that at the same time. So it's not that like we had a band and then joined furries, or that we were furries and then made a band. It was like the same time. So to me, furry and music
just intertwined.
The same brain portion.
I really wish all our listeners could watch your like arms and hands right now, because I think some
video clips.
Next time I see you at a con, I'm gonna make you do that. I'm just gonna just
go to a panel. I'll be doing it. Like,
yeah,
I know. And other people are talking. I'm doing it. And right, if you're not doing it for some weird reason, I am going to run up there and say, "Okay, Pepper, come on, get with it. Okay, come on." So that'll be really good. Yeah, there you go. See,
your hands. Mm-hmm.
I'm mesmerized.
I'm doing like opposing snake movements upward.
You are.
He's painting a picture with words. Opposing snake movements in an upward motion.
That should be my new. That should be like a patron tier, is you release the footage of my hands. Like, you said the audio, but now you get...
That should be the name of your next album, Opposing Snake Formations.
No, but it's got to be the full thing. Opposing Snake Formations rising up into the heavens or something.
You just have like my... It's like I'm really tiny. You remember, have you played Undertale? Is that a reference I can...
I remember
Undertale. Yes.
The dog who's, as you pet its head, the head keeps going up and up. It's like that, but I'm tiny and it's my hands, and my hands just keep going up and up. Like
there you go.
Very top of the cover. Back nice. Around like a Mobius strip.
There you go.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So where does the fursona Pepper Coyote come? Did that also happen at like the same time then?
Yeah. Freshman year of college, I was made aware of furries. Because, well, I had seen the art where I was like, animal people drawn that are not part of any pre-existing show I know about. I knew of that concept. Then I met someone in college who was like, furries are that. And then I knew, like, oh, okay, this is furries is what I'm talking about. And then we went to Anthrocon later that year. And I knew I wanted to be some kind of dog. We're right by Pittsburgh. Hey, Pennsylvania. Yeah,
that makes right, sense.
Clever yeah. Listeners will remember.
Yes.
I'm just a pup. I forget things that happened like 2.5 seconds ago. So, oh, shiny squirrel. So anyway, that makes sense.
Yeah. We went to school in Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, which has nothing to do with IU, which is a college people have heard of. But IUP had been there since it was Indiana Teachers College, normal school, like pre-Civil War, had been there forever. And we were first, so.
maybe that's why Indiana the population went back down.
That is not the 800-person town.
That is. Oh, okay.
Got it. I think the population of Indiana without the students is maybe 800, though. It's one of those where, like, the college is the town. And I wanted to be a dog of some kind. I didn't want to be a fox or a wolf because there was just a lot of them. That was the impression I got. Like, that was kind of at the peak of fox wolf saturation.
I won't tell our fox that you just said that.
I'm pretty good friends with foxes, if that wasn't people who know me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are one half of Fox and Peppers.
Right.
Although it turns out people don't know that. It's like, you know, we had Fox on the show, like, what was it, a few months ago. We were saying like, oh yeah, we're having Fox on the show, or Fox. And they're like, who are you even talking about? And then Barely's like, right. You know, a Fox and Peppers. And they're like, oh, that one.
It's pretty funny, because in the beginning, Foxamore was the name people knew. And now apparently the group is the one, because people call me Peppers, plural,
Peppers.
All the
right.
time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like, I'm not going to, it's not upsetting me, but it's funny.
Yeah.
you're okay being a red, orange, and yellow pepper all at the yeah, same time.
I am plural peppers.
Yes.
So I'm on the Wikipedia page for the Canidae family, and I stumble upon coyotes, and I liked that, like, it's a North American animal, which is fun, and they're only in North America, but they're also in Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. And the specific aspect that coyotes, the more that they are hunted by the humans, the better they get at not getting caught by humans. And I like that too. That was the element that, like, oh, coyotes. Yeah. Like wolves. Yeah. If you build a mall, all the wolves in your town are dead. Like, they all leave. They can't handle it. Coyotes, they just live in your mall now. Like, they're just all those little parks you've now made. You've just cleared out new coyote houses. That's what we've done.
Nice. Very, very productive. Very productive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The best are the, like, the little four leaf clover, what is it, like interstate interchange things where they have
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those circles of grass, we're like, how do you ever get to those circles of grass? Coyotes, they love that. No one walks over there.
Yeah.
No one. Nobody.
That's really, really
nobody can get there ever.
You can't hunt there. You can't hunt in the little circle in the clover. No, you Elmer put it up with this, like, I'm hunting Yodis. Sir, this is the
I-5. You can't do that. Yeah.
So then where did the peppers come from? I mean, did you realize you could not go, or you were the only one that could go to a little circle thing and you're like, what's my favorite vegetable that I can't have anywhere else, but I can now that I'm in a little circle thing? If that doesn't make any sense, but maybe you know where I'm going with that.
I went to lunch at university and there was two pepper shakers and no salt, and that is the actual reason I called it.
Okay. I feel like my reason was more of a fun adventure, but I like the two pepper shaker thing too. That's pretty good.
I should adapt yours as canon. We made a whole new, it's just pepper, but different colors, which is a fursuit that we made for my boyfriend. So he now walks around as salt and I am pepper. And then people are like, where's salt? I'm like, go right here, waka waka.
You kind of already mentioned then what one thing I was wondering was where did your miso career start? And it started long ago. And it sounded like you did have formal training-ish in school.
Yeah, I had 4 years of operatic voice training where all I was doing.
I saw that something somewhere that you were an opera singer in 2015, and that confused me. And that kind of makes sense now, I guess.
It feels more akin to like you know how Star Trek loves to use like Shakespearean actors, people who are very serious theater actors. Then they come in and do a TV show and they're like, okay, well, they'll have a certain air of them and they fit the whole Starfleet, like you stand straight and you deliver your lines and blah, blah, blah. So, but it's not a Shakespeare show. It's you're in outer space shooting lasers and there's aliens.
Right.
So it's like, okay. I received the classical training to be an operatic baritone. I'm not super great at it, first of all. And oh my goodness, how many professional classical singers do you know? Like that, not like famous ones. I mean, just people in your life who, I am a singer, I'm a classical singer, and that is my job. Like nobody, mm-hmm. No one is hired for that.
It's not the guy at the barbecue with you.
No, like no one's a professional orchestral clarinet player. Like, no. You have, like 10 people in the whole world get that job. And that's kind of what opera is like. If I'm not Pavarotti, I'm not getting any that's money.
you're not getting the stage time at all.
Oh, exactly. Like it's like trying to be a pro athlete. So few actually get there that it's like, is it even worth the amount of effort and training and money to get there? But the pop music I enjoyed a lot. I still enjoy opera and classical music, and I get to sing a lot of it in like, I can still do like funerals and weddings. You know what I mean? Since I have the technique. So if someone wants to hire me for a funeral, I can get like, up there.
Okay, I'll go do a funeral. Why not?
Yeah. Like, do you want Ave Maria? I will sing Ave Maria. Do you want Danny Boy? I will do Danny Boy.
I am going to make you sing Ave Maria at a con sometime.
Maria Grazia Plena. Just the worst Latin ever spoken.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty good. Pretty good. So that you realized that opera wasn't the thing, but you like the poppy rock stuff. And so that kind of drove to where you are now-ish.
Yeah. And I was in rock band when I was 16 in my tiny high school. There was like one band of anyone in the high school. There was one group of kids that had a little cover band. And I saw them and they had a singer kind of, I'm like, do you guys want a singer? And they're like, yes, the person who sings in the band hates singing. So I just jumped right in there. And now I'm in a cover band doing like 3 hour at a time sets in like a smoky bar. It would say smoky bars, but the town is very small.
There's only one.
Yes, it's just smoky bar, singular. So we somehow negotiate that, even though in the state of Pennsylvania, you aren't even allowed to set foot in a bar unless you're a over 21 or directly with your parent. I think our parents had to like sit in the like corner the whole time we did the show, and that's like how we got around.
Oh, and they love that. Yeah, that was very sacrificial of them.
Well, I mean, what else are you gonna do?
So was that the name of the bar? Smoky bar.
I'm trying to like not give away too many.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We'll just call it you had your first gig at Smoky bar.
So that's like the only music background I had going into school. And at that point, the classical material was entirely new, but I loved it. Like I loved learning how to read music properly after taking piano lessons since I was 5. Like I could play piano. I just faked being able to read sheet music for so long that people just assumed I could. And then you get to university and they're like, hello, if you do not pass this sheet music test, you will have to repeat this course, and you are currently spending 10 times, your income is zero. So having to repeat any of these college courses would be ruinous to your family. So,
that kind of made you want to learn,
It's time to learn to read. And now I can read pretty freaking well, and I'm happy with myself.
So in the beginning then, were you more of an audio listener? Yes, I was an audio listener. I listened with my ears, not with my finger.
I could always kind of hear and repeat stuff faster than I could figure it out on paper, so I just did that.
Okay, nice.
And then eventually, it's like, well, you don't have to do as many rehearsals if you can read. in the same way, if you're trying to be an actor and not read the language you were performing in, it's like, why would you not if you have the opportunity?
So when did you get into with Fox?
Ooh, so I get out of college. I live in Arizona now. And after getting here, I was in like my first apartment. I had a mattress on the floor, like very first apartment kind of situation. And I get an email at like 1 a.m. and I'm awake because I'm like, it's not a midlife crisis, it's more like I am in Arizona, I am farther away from my house, like living technically, than I ever have. This is an apartment only in my name, like going through all that kind
and
of,
and there's more people in this apartment complex than in the town I grew up in.
Oh my god, literally, like, not a joke. I genuinely think that apartment complex was my whole town could have moved in.
You had like a metropolis you had moved to all of a sudden.
And that was the goal, was to get to the city. And I'm like, oh, I'll move to a city so I don't have to have a car. And then I moved to Phoenix, and anyone could tell me, like, no, you still need a car. If you like, Phoenix is like a driving city. Like, it's the opposite of a Seattle. Seattle hates you to have a car. It wants to make it as painful as possible for you to be driving that car, so people don't do it. And I kind of respect that, because Phoenix is a city where every road is 9 lanes wide, and it's still traffic. So eventually we'll hit a standstill. So I get an email at 2 a.m, feeling very weird about my life. And it's like, hi, do you want to do a show in New Jersey? It's in 3 days and we will pay for the plane ticket. And I'm like, I've never been on a plane. Let's do it.
So where did this email come from? Like AOL online email?
It's directly from Fox. Fox Amore has emailed me this. At the time, I only know of them as like, oh, this is the music admin on Fur Affinity. And I've heard their music and we've talked a couple of times on Skype. And they seem nice. Now they're asking, oh, I forgot, I'm not supposed to do that on other people's shows.
No, you're, it's okay.
Edit out my,
you're on brand. You're on brand there. It's like,
I don't do that to be gross. I always think it usually makes people laugh. And
there you go. It's staying in now.
This is from Fox. He's like, you have to learn this music. Good luck. And I'm like, yes, I will do this. I learn the songs. I show up. I sing the music, because they had a singer drop out due to, I think, illness. And I subbed. That's what you always hear. It's like, how did the blank player become a star? It's like, well, the current star got hurt and they subbed in and they did well.
It's the whole right place, the right time thing. Yeah.
It's the understudy scene in every show that does like a theater plot. Where, oh, I broke my arms the last second.
Do we have a stand in, please?
So I did that. Went pretty well. It was me, Fox Amore, and Matthew Ebel. At FA United, I don't remember, a while ago. They number theirs. It's not by years. It was like FA United 7. And then after that, we did a show at Megaplex where it still wasn't just like, we will now, together, forever, be a music team. It was like, that was a good show. Thanks for playing. See you later. Yeah, went back home. Then at Megaplex, I think the next year, same year, I don't know if he invited me on stage or if I kind of like elbow jiggled my way onto the stage, but I was on the set and I played some guitar on a lot of songs. And
specify the means.
Yeah. And after I think one more show, we're like, do you want to do an album? Because we kind of compliment each other. Well, then we did the thing called Hashtag. By the way, if anyone is listening, and this is my plug, if anybody has any streaming music service of any kind, look up Foxes and Peppers. Our first album is called Hashtag, but we have more than that now.
I didn't realize Hashtag was your first like together. I thought you had something before that.
That was our first together big project. I recorded on Fox Amore's album, Dreamcatcher.
Oh, okay.
Some other smaller stuff, some pop. I was on a like Poppet show backgrounds. There was a
pure Poppet.
Yeah, right. I was a Santa. He did a Santa Baby cover, and I was doom, ba doom, ba doom, ba doom, ba doom. I just recorded that. He stuck me in there, and then eventually an album.
Nice, nice, nice. Nice. You had to work your way up. No, yeah, hashtag is pretty for any fur out there that's heard it, of course. You know, it's really great, like total con album. I still, to this day, my little puppy eyes tear up every time I hear See You Next Year.
That was a song that I had written beforehand that Fox heard, and he was like, I really want to do this song on something.
Oh, really?
It's a rare situation where our favorite song also became other people's. Usually it's something we don't even think about becomes everyone else's favorite song. We're like, wow, okay, that's the one people like. But this was a
and you think to yourself, why do you like this one?
It is that sometimes. It's usually more like, why don't you like this one that I like?
Yeah.
All my favorites. Oh, my goodness. I talked about the guy, my boyfriend who wears Salt. He hates most of my music. All the stuff that I'm excited about, like, oh, this is all weird and it goes into this time signature and blah, blah, blah. He hates that. He's like, it's too much.
He must be like masochistic Salt Shaker is what he is.
He's usually nice with the final product, but I'm not in an ego situation where everyone around me is telling me I'm great. So I have that going for me.
You're honest. That's good.
Well, that's good. That's good.
That's good.
You're like the opposite of a groupie. They hate me. No. They hate me. I hate this thing. I want to marry the lead singer.
Another one I like, I guess another one I like that, I think everyone else likes that too. You know, Suit Up, of course. Every time you play Suit Up, I'm like right up there dancing around because I love that so much. It's awesome. I don't cry like I do with See You Next Year.
I tried to write two songs about fursuits. There's Suit Up and then there's This Suit. I wrote This Suit a million years ago, but Suit Up is, far more recent. And it was indeed supposed to be like intentionally about fursuiting. I kind of wrote it in a way that can be taken as fursuiting or just general cosplay. And
sensitive.
Yeah. I'm trying.
Cross-culture.
Well, it's not even that I'm trying to like, I don't want it to come off as I'm ashamed of the furry aspect and trying to bury it. I think it was like more of a, I know a lot of people who go to fur cons and cosplay, and I think that comes from a similar part of like the human spirit.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if like when you see I love obscure cosplays because you know that's not because they want to get pictures. Like they're not doing that. They're not dressing up as Iron Man or, I did this very elaborate Darth Vader exact replica.
Instead, they're a paperclip.
It'll be, I'm soldier number 4 who dies in like there's a comedy deleted scene of them and that's from like Starship Troopers and one person at the con will go, oh, like, are you soldier number 4?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, my man. And
I'm Left Shark.
I think if you do Left Shark now, does everyone know who Left Shark is still?
I don't think.
No idea.
Tabin has no idea. If you did Left Shark now, they're like, why is that guy, what? Why does it say Left Shark on his back? I don't understand.
Katy Perry Super Bowl.
Yep.
There was a backup dancer who just obviously did not know the choreography. And you find out later because they were a stand-in. They're like, get out there. We're putting you in this shark suit. It's a full body shark suit. No one will see you. Yeah. And
that was one of the stand-in stories that didn't work out.
Yeah, backup dancer. I don't know if that one ever takes. Has there ever been a backup dancer so good that they get like picked up from behind Beyonce and into stardom?
No.
Well, I
can't help, but I remember from the movie. What was that movie? The Scream. I love this movie. But
Scream?
movie Scream.
That is a movie. But no, the parody. Scary Movie.
Scary Movie.
Scary Movie. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's what and I forget what the whole setup was and why or whatever, but her friend was like, with a backup dancer, they can't even get you backstage.
Oh, no. If I ever have a backup dancer, just one, I hire one single backup. Can you be a backup dancer if you're by yourself?
You can probably be your own backup dancer.
You're a dancer in the background, not so much a background dancer. It's like,
I guess that implies a feature dancer or like a prime dancer prime.
In 2017 was my first con, and I went to the Fox and Pepper concert. It was very exciting, and it was just you and Fox on the stage.
Thank you. And thank you for going, by the way.
Yes. And that, well, it was very well attended. And then the next con we went to, you brought a flautist on.
Tara was her name, I think.
Tanya, probably.
Tanya.
Yeah.
Yep. There are multiple people who play flute with us, but there's not that many. And it was 2017. It was probably Tanya Song.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Tanya. Yeah. And then the last time I saw you guys, you have a full freaking band on the stage. I mean, you've got a brass section, you got a drummer, you've got the flautist, you've got other guitarists. How did that all come about? I mean, did just people just like muscle their way on the stage and say, I want to play with you guys, or did you like organize this?
I'm kind of proud of how this is another mini example of how, when I talk about how like my politics, how it's less about like a thing I go around talking to people, telling people about, yelling at people, and more I try to like structure our lives. Our band was it's almost like an open source band, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, we essentially have a team of volunteers, but it's not like we went out and said, attention fandom, we require labor. it was more a combination of, oh, you're in a band also at this con and you're also doing a show and you played on this song we recorded. Do you want to learn a few more songs? And then you're our drummer, and then vice versa. Oh, I sang on your thing. So yeah, at your show, I will, and Fox will play keyboard. And so if you go to a TFF is the biggest example of this in recent memory of just how the furry bands can't cannibalize each other. I wasn't going to use that term, but that'll make some of the listeners really happy. But you essentially get 10 total people that make 7 bands in different Lego combination. And then over time you start, people notice that and they go, hey, do you ever need someone who, we had a guy named Benny. Do you want anyone to play saxophone with you? And then a complete random, I do not know Benny at all before this. Mm-hmm. Through the fandom, we have now met. Benny is now like our horn organizer. He is an essential part of a lot of our shows. And they just came, like, I make this sound more serendipitous than it sounds believable, but that's kind of that's what happened. And I mean, you've been to FurCons. How many of your extremely close friends did you just, they wandered into our room because they thought like, oh, wrong room. Hi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've made
nothing interactions.
Yeah. I've made lifetime friends at FurCons just from walking past somebody or in the registration line. You talk to the person for an hour and the next thing you know, you're visiting each other over the summer. You're out. It's like, hey, come on up. We'll go hiking or something. You know?
I'm glad that the fandom also kind of did that in musical form with us. And now we have it. It's more like we're in this geographic area. We will notify these people and be like, hey, we're going to be at this con. Are you doing? What can we work out? And it comes together like that. I don't think this is like TMI. This isn't too like behind the scenes, but no one that I know of in furry live performance music is ever paid for the performance. If that makes sense. Like no one walks off the stage here's your check for doing the show. I'm only being cautious. I'm trying not to misspeak. Cause I'm genuinely thinking like, does that con pay DJs? I'm like, no. So it kind of becomes like a mutual aid situation where everyone's kind of working for free. It's also our recreational time. Like we go to the party anyway. It's a very strange, the work, not work is more blended than ever. This is why people end up with instruments at cons. People just bring stuff because there's always a situation where like, oh yeah, sure. I have one of those in my car. We can.
I happen to have an oboe in my trunk. Let me come up on stage with you.
I always bring my drumsticks actually with me. It's nothing like an oboe.
You did, or did you organize a collaboration for something called Heave a Paw?
Oh, yeah. This is, another plug situation. I don't think the timing is going to work out that this makes sense, but probably by the time you're listening to this on YouTube, you can find Heave a Paw, a furry sea shanty. Not just, I put up like just a picture with the audio of the whole thing, but
right.
Salt, or Moore is his actual name, my boyfriend, has, I usually try, Salt. I don't know, I've always feel
like we need boyfriend. To call him Salt from now on. When I finally meet him, I'm going to say, hey, you're Salt.
It's not even the Salt thing. It's just saying, I'm too trained in everyday life to be like, never talk about how you have a boyfriend or people will
treat. But it is insulting.
Right. I've been away from, I've been quarantined so long that I have to remember what it's like to feel comfortable talking about having a male romantic partner and not being made to feel weird about it.
Hey, we're a totally gay staffed show. You're good. It's good. I have a husband. Tabin has a husband. Our associate editors are all gay. And so, you know, we're,
Are there skate people here? Wait.
I've been sitting in Arizona for like a straight year now. And I shouldn't paint it as even that bad. We have a rainbow flag we put out front, and we've never been hate crimed or anything. So
right, yeah.
And you have a green room.
Yeah, we have a green room. It's one of the that's one of the colors. If we got what, five more rooms with different colors, we
can. There you go.
But Heva Paw, let's get back to Heva Paw.
He has made a video, a real video to it with which is also like people sending in clips from around the country and kind of around the world. I assembled the song in that I wrote the music part around a thing that Benny, the horn guy we mentioned earlier, Benny is big into sea shanties and like old music. He is if you want to talk about John Philip Sousa or something, he will love that. He's a Barry sax player, band nerd at heart. He was like, oh, here's some shanties. And I listened through a bunch. Picked one, kind of drew, I didn't straight up copy it, but drew a lot of inspiration from, because that's kind of how really old folk music worked anyway, is you would take a melody from somebody, some lyrics from somebody else, mash it together. We were talking about copyright before we got on air. Did not exist in that way in the 1700s.
No.
So you just kind of riff off each other's music, and it's not a big deal. So I took that, changed it a little bit. So it is based on an actual sea shanty, which after you hear it, you can listen to that and go, ooh, I see the differences. It is called Heave a Paw. I wrote the structure. Benny wrote most of the lyrics. I edited some of them. His wife, Sue Deer, also did some lines. And then we turned that loose on my patrons and various internet musicians, furry musicians that I know, and asked them to record takes of it. I then take those dozens of takes, layer them together, and what you end up with is, in my opinion, not to brag, a pretty large sounding, really cool choir effect.
It sounds really, really good. And I remember when you posted it, you're like, finally, after decades of work or something like that, here it is.
Trying to fake a big group in a big room is harder than just getting a bunch of people and putting them in a big room and recording it. So I'm happy with my ability to, well, first of all, I designed the bit. I had people sing kind of the repetitive chorus. Everyone yells it back, sea shanty portion. So I tried to make it as clear as possible, as clean, not simple is the wrong word, but, you know, straightforward, easy to sing. Then I just end up layering those things all over each other, add a little bit of reverb. And I have to give a ton of credit to the people who are willing to do very quality takes. Like, they listened, they learned it, they sang it accurately back at me. I really didn't have to do as much work as it should have been. So thank you very much to everyone involved. And people listening, you can hear that and judge. You can sit at home and think, all right, this totally sucks. Pepper's full of himself. And you can have that in your heart. And you can tell me about it even. Tweet at me how bad my song is.
Because you deserve it after all the tweeting you did recently, right?
My Twitter has seriously undergone a change. Has and will be. I'm not leaving Twitter, but I'm drastically changing how I engage with it.
So the sea shanty thing. So Ben said, here's some sea shanties. Or did you say, hey, let's do a collaboration on this? Or how did that all come about? You're like sitting there bored because it's COVID. And it's like, I need something to do.
There was a TikTok trend, which I am not on TikTok. I don't say that because I'm trying to act better than children. TikTok was doing sea shanties. So I had more alt boyfriend say, yeah. Why aren't you writing a sea shanty? This is such a opportunity. You're a songwriter. There's a song thing. Like, come on. And then after about, I was like, give it a second. Because if tomorrow nobody cares about sea shanties, this will have been like not wasted effort, but I don't want to like jump on a meme too late because that's like embarrassing.
Right. Yeah.
Miss it. If I came out today with a song called like Epic Fail, like, it'd be like,
right.
Nobody says these things. So sea shanties kept going. I pulled the trigger and I said, Benny, you like sea shanties. I want to write one. Let's make it happen. Like, they had some gentle encouragement. So it wasn't even, we kind of both co-initiated. He had talked about how he wanted to do it. I'm always kind of always down to do stuff like this. And we made it happen. And there was only kind of two or three back and forths. He's like, here's some songs. Here's just a ton of lines I wrote. And I kind of picked my favorites, edited some things, wrote, I think, one. So it was a very even collab. I feel very happy with the 50-50 in the school group project. Benny really did half the work.
nice collaboration. And you all got an A.
Yeah.
Yay.
We'll see if people like the video.
Looking forward to it. Definitely. Talking about your musical journey earlier, your voice is definitely, I remember like first time I saw you, your voice has just gotten so much better and your abilities have just totally skyrocketed. did, I guess is the word. Anyway.
Hey, I appreciate the compliment. The secret was the years and years of intense lessons.
apparently lessons are useful.
College money well spent.
Yes. Actually, yes. I'm one of the few millennials who gets to be like, I have my degree and it was worth it.
So we've covered like a ton. I say ton. Things today. Is there anything we have missed that you would like to tell us about yourself?
If you're listening to this and you're either not, you're like, what? There's furry musicians? There are so many. Like I had during my most recent Twitter like thing where people were mad at me. There's a lot of. I don't take it horribly personally, and I don't say this so people like feel bad for me. This isn't like victim moment. It just helps me make my further point here. But there are like various quote tweets of people I've never met and have never met me who are like, man, I'm so sick of Pepper. Like Pepper should be like, how come the only furry musician anyone ever talks about is Pepper? We should be supporting different furry musicians. And I agree because I go to convention live shows all the time. And I sit in there with three other people in the audience watching extremely quality music. So my like. Do that. Put
I want out there.
Put their money where their mouth is and go and support other musicians. There are so many in the fandom. Top of my head, we have Cassidy Civet, who has an album out now that mm-hmm. you can get on Bandcamp, all that things. And it's good. It is poppy. It is high production value. We have Scuro, or I've Made Too Much Pasta, which is weird, like punk, not quite punk, avant-garde folk punk. It's not as weird as I'm making it sound, but it's something. And if this got the right exposure, it would be treated like we've discovered this amazing indie album that no one cared about back in the day, but it's genius. Like Neutral Milk Hotel had that happen to them, where their album got famous a decade after they did it. And at the time, everyone thought it was just dumb and weird. I think Skuro is one of these musical geniuses. We have Zephyr with an X. They're a Toronto, like hard rock, kind of thrashy System of a Downy-ish band. There are musicians out there, and every DJ. How many furry DJs are there?
Oh, hundreds of DJs.
They don't have
right.
the exposure issue. People know about the DJs at least. Thank goodness. I'm glad yeah. some musicians are getting the rep. But if you go looking for it, there's just so much furry music. Listen to it. And even more important, if you have the means, buy one. Just if you get one CD from a rando furry musician, you have no idea how much it'll mean to them. Like,
yeah. Right.
It means to me when I get one album sale, I'm like, wow. I do not get
who is
day,
this for out there? What's going on?
I get like one a week. I'm like, this is good. I get to go to the post office. I can leave my house.
I can buy a coffee. Wow. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm into grinding my own coffee right now. Oh. I got a French press. Mm-hmm. Which sounds so fancy. $20, like right. is any French press. They cost almost nothing. They don't use electricity, so you're not no additional cost. You boil right. up water, put it. It's not hard. And I, of course, then they're like, oh, if you have the French press, you must grind your own beans too.
Of course, yes.
So I get a grinder. And they're like, oh, you fool! You have bought the wrong kind of grinder. That yes. is blade grinder. Blade yes. grinders are worse than hell. You yes. must buy a. Burr grinder.
Yes, you must have the burr grinder. Yes.
I'm just standing in my kitchen.
Grinding away.
So when I say burr grinder, that's the difference between one where you push it and an electric blade goes, or a pepper grinder. Like a pepper grinder is a burr grinder where you, mm-hmm. you're physically smashing the thing. There's no blade to cut it up. It's grinding.
Yeah. It's so basically a ball with a bunch of sharp instruments on it.
It's a horror show.
It's pretty much, yeah. It's a nasty thing. I'll tell you what.
Have you seen the tire shredder where it's the creepy right. two metal cylinders with just the little nubs?
Yeah, it's a burr grinder. Yep,
blunt. I'd rather yep. get cut in half than like ground with blunt objects.
Okay, so we always end our interview with asking our guests to give a parting shot or words of wisdom. Now, you spoke a little bit about support other furry musicians. But if you had to give our listeners one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, to do whatever creative thing you're doing. If I'm assuming, since I'm a musician, people are, if anyone wants any advice from me, it would be related to creative stuff. Put it out. As many successful music projects I know of that get put onto plastic and put onto streaming services as finished things that I can listen to, I know 10 more who have a really good idea and probably a really good like thing, even they're just too interested in either perfection or I don't know, should I put out the thing? Do it. Mm-hmm. put out whatever you're doing. If you're making videos and you just, I don't know, I don't want to do my first, put it on YouTube. You are going to hate your first anything anyway.
You got to start somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah, the first of anything sucks.
Oh, 2 years, at the time, you'll kind of like it. And then like 2 years later, you'll look back and you're not going to like it anyway.
No.
So why spend your whole life of energy on the first one, which is going to be, it's kind of a gimme. It's like a mulligan anyway. Mm-hmm, start doing it. My first album is trash.
We've talked to fursuit makers, we've talked to artists, and they all say the same thing. It's like, getting it finished is better than not, and your first one sucks. Just expect it.
It's nice to see the process. I mean, everyone loves the Twitter threads when they're like, this was me drawing 10 years ago, and this is me drawing now. Everyone loves that. You're in a group, hopefully, unless you have really crappy furry friends, that will delight in your development as an artist. So don't
be bad. That's the one thing I've noticed about the furry fandom is, for the most part, very, very accepting. I mean, you could be the crappiest musician in the world, but you still get 20 people to come to a panel and listen to you, you know, play your oboe or something. So,
oh yeah, I mean, it's a really great thing that the furry community is like, we're so supportive and accepting of each other, and that's just wonderful for many reasons. And I mean, it's the only reason any fur ever comes to my things, because they're just, if they were like honest and didn't do that, like if they were not in the furry fandom, they'd be like, no, Taven, just no, I'm bye. I can't do it.
Well, Pepper, thank you for coming on our show. It's been a pleasure to have you. I'm so glad that you agreed to come on the show, and hopefully we can have you on a guest again in the future.
On a guest on again.
You know,
be a Gaston again.
Yeah, you know, speaking is hard sometimes, but especially for an audio media, one should be a little bit better.
I'm better than if I.
Yeah.
As hard as speaking is, for me, typing is harder. Thank you very much for having me on, Taven and Fairly. This has been a great time.
Good. I'm so glad you had. Well, Taven, I'm going to let you say goodbye, and we'll let Pepper get off to his assault.
Yeah, great. Well, not too much though, because I hear it's bad for you to have too much of that. But yes, thank you so much, Pepper, for coming on. It was great to see and hear you again. I can't wait to just like all of us, but can't wait to get to a con where I can hug you with posies once again, and that'll be just great.
Hopefully not too long. Bye, everybody.
Wow. You know, every time we have a guest on, I end it with going, wow, that guy was great.
You do.
We have not. I don't think I've ever said, wow, that was a waste of time. But
I can't remember. Maybe I've blocked it out of my mind, but I don't think you have.
I don't think I've ever said that about a guest. No. Pepper, singular, not plural.
Not plural. Just he's so not that a Pepper's. All you first know, he's not. He might have multiple person pepper tea, but as far as we know, not.
Person pepper teas? Yes. But I learned a lot about him today. I didn't realize that he had a political podcast. I'll have to tune in and kind of listen to what he's talking about from time to time.
I knew about I think it's a relatively new thing. I knew about that. I haven't heard it because I'm not a political pup, but I know he did that. But yeah, I've learned a lot of good stuff. He's very energetic, very fun fur to talk to.
Very fun fur.
Wonderful. Wonderful to talk to him again at a con someday.
And now it's time for our ever-present and ever-popular Furries in the News.
Now, I had trouble doing this last week, if you remember.
I remember. And all our furs remember, too. All our listeners remember.
And I assume, we didn't get a mailbag, so I assume we haven't heard. Do we prefer what I normally do or that little short thing I did a few weeks ago? We don't know.
We don't know.
So every fur, let us know. Go back and listen a few pupisodes ago when I did the little short and sweet phrase in the news.
But what? No, we did get feedback from one fur.
Oh, we did. Oh,
we did get from one fur, and it was Moritz the Crow.
Oh, cool.
And he said that it cracks him up every time you do the long furries in the news.
The thing I normally do? Okay, yes. So it's settled. Thank you, Moritz the Crow, who was on. Shout out to Moritz, who came into 5 Minute Furs for Fun 1 week. And you have just done it. You solidified the vote. As it were. So
the vote of one. The election was stolen. No, I'm sorry.
It was stolen. Yeah. Okay, Cheeto.
Okay. All right. So it's time now for Furries in the News.
What am I doing? I'm having trouble with my pinata. Furries, 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 furries. Moritz the Crow says that the furries are in. None. They are in. They are in. Moritz, this is your fault right there. Barely, right you there. Cannot blame me. Blame Moritz.
Moritz, yes. Oh, and after that long, long, long lead up, I got
Are
nothing.
There any furries in there the is, news, Barely?
There are no furries in the news.
Oh, well, okay.
After, but I can't just skip over that part of it anymore because it's so, so much a part of our show.
I think Moritz would hate you for life if you skipped over that.
I would. He would probably trundle his little buddy down here and just smack me.
Trundle?
So, trundle.
That's an adorable. You know what's really cute? So,
what's really cute?
Speaking of which, besides you, sweetie, so Roombas, you know how kitties like to be on Roombas and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
It turns out, and there's like, I found a website or something all about like how cats like to be on Roombas and like why and everything. Mm-hmm. And I haven't read it yet, so I can't actually tell you why, but there's that. And the reason I say it's cute, well, it's kitties on Roombas, so it's amazingly cute mm-hmm. anyway. But what reminded me of that, at one point I got a Roomba or something for Christmas for my honey, whatever. And yeah. I was reading reviews about it. And one of the comments on the review on it was, yeah. It's cute. It said, quote unquote, it's cute. It trottles along and then whatever it said. But what I remembered most about that review was saying, it's cute. It trottles along. And just mm-hmm. the fact that it trottles along, somehow that's amazingly cute right there.
Trottles.
And that's what I have to say about that.
Trottles. I like that.
Trottles I do too. I really, really like that.
Okay. So that was our furries in the news.
Do that little squeak you just did again. That was adorable.
I didn't know I did a squeak.
You had a little, after I did my thing, you did a little toot or something.
I don't know. I didn't even notice I did it. I don't even know I did it.
Wow. I'll have to rewind this pupisode and find out what you did.
Yeah, really? I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. Anyway, so it's a story week. Now, we've been talking about possibly me reading a dark Grimm's fairy tale, and I've looked through some of the stories. I'm not sure that we want to start this now, this close to the end of our season. Maybe we should start at the beginning of our season two.
Okay. Yes. So every fur, by the way, we are starting soon, season two.
Do you have a story to end out our year with a typical Tabin story?
I do have a story. Okay. And this is a shout out to Lux Opron.
Oh, Lux. Nice.
Yep. She suggested
they.
A few.
I think is she a they or they? Or she a they or they or she? Or
that is, I something think it's that, she, but that I is something we should definitely figure out before this
well,
airs.
Well, we'll say this. No, we'll just say this. She, they, them.
Vladimir Penguin Dolphin.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So
recommended.
Lux, so sorry for offending you. Like,
I know.
So
I don't think
place right
I don't
now.
Think she's going to be offended. Lux is a great person.
She's a strong old wench. Ooh, why is she
I don't know that I would call
wench?
Her a wench. I don't know that I'd call
we
Lux
love you,
a
Lux.
Wench.
We love you.
We
Thank
love you so
for...
much, Lux. It's like...
We hope you don't throw hinder fruit at us, but
she's
going to
throw
totally
all sorts of things
do.
At us. And
I cannot.
She's going to love the fact that we talked about her like this. This.
Okay, good, good. Okay. So we're actually helping you out, wench. Do you remember from the Neverending Story? The little,
yes.
Literally little old. I mean, you know where I'm going with this. The little old man says, yeah. To the wench, wench. But that has nothing to do with the story that Lux recommended. So,
right.
Yes, Lux recommended a few stories that. They'd like to hear read on the show. And one of them was The Adventures of Frog and Toad by Arnold Lobel. It's an I can read book. So,
you can read book.
What else would I read? And I'd like to read the first two. It's the book consists of several little stories involving Frog and Toad. And I
okay.
want to read the first two. They're not too long, so I think I'd like to read
okay.
the first two. The What is even happening? I don't know.
I don't know.
Hi. Something Hi. About like sandwiches in donut shops or something.
Right. Yeah.
So the first story is called Spring. Frog ran up the path to Toad's house. He knocked on the front door, but there was no answer. Toad! Toad! Shouted Frog. Wake up! It is spring! Blah! Said a voice from inside the house. Toad! Toad! Cried Frog. The sun is shining! The snow is melting! Wake up! I'm not here! Said the voice. Frog walked into the house. It was dark. All the shutters were closed. Toad, where are you? Called Frog. Go away! Said the voice from a corner in the room. Toad,
I hate it when my corner. I hate it when the corner talks to you. It's just it's just so bad and creepy when the corner
talks
to you.
It's very creepy, like corner, why are you talking? Are you trying to corner me into something? Or yes. Are you trying to take me to the morgue because you are a coroner?
Take me to church.
To church? Why take would a coroner take you to church?
Oh, a coroner? No, a coroner wouldn't take you to church. They take me to the morgue.
That's what I said. That's why I said the morgue.
I was saying coroner, not coroner.
And you said
coroner. All right, never mind. Finish the story. Just finish. We're so far off the rails at this point.
I would like to do a shout out to you, Barely, because every single episode these days, you have said at least once, we are so far off
the rails. We are so far off the rails, yeah.
And you have also said every episode, I remember earlier in this episode, you said, if you will.
Will Wheaton.
So now every episode, oh, and that reminds me.
Yes.
We are actually in the middle of the story, but I'm just going to say
this. I know, so who cares? The frog and the toad, whatever, yeah.
I'm supposed to. So now every episode, you have to make sure at some point you say at least once, if you will, and what's the other one? We just went over this. I don't know.
I don't remember. Man, you need to say dun, dun, dun at some point.
Yes, that's what I have to say. Dun. You have to say if you will, and...
And we're so far off the rails. We're so far off the rails.
Okay, yes.
We're so far off the rails right now, yes.
And so then I say dun, dun, dun. Okay, now we're caught up. And,
if any listener is still listening, thank you.
And... Any listener, we want you to know that Toad was lying in bed. He had pulled all the covers over his head. Frog pushed Toad out of bed. And then he bled. No, I don't know. That's not what the he pushed him out of the house. And onto the front porch. Toad blinked in the bright sun. Help! Said Toad. I cannot say anything! Don't be silly, said Frog. So he's gay all of a sudden. Don't be silly.
A gay frog.
And actually, as these stories progress, you might actually wonder about that. What you see is the clear, warm light of April. And it means that we can begin a whole new year together, Toad. See, they're beginning a year together.
A year together. Yeah. Well, we've been together for a year, so...
It's true, but we're Does already gay. A... Maybe.
Oh, we're already gay, so never mind.
Yeah, it's like, I know, Toad and Frog don't know yet. They sleep together and everything, but...
It's like, they're questioning.
They're still questioning. Think of it, said Frog. We will skip through the... Well, there we go, right there.
There you go. They're going to skip through the sunlight.
They're going to skip through the meadows and run through the woods and swim in the river. We are so... gay right now. Oh,
they are such a gay. But toads don't swim. They don't go in the water.
Well, that's why he wants Frog to help him.
Sweetie,
yeah.
I'll ride on your back, Frog. I'll ride on your back.
Exactly. In the evenings, we will sit right here on this front porch and count the stars. Oh, that's so sweet.
That's so cute.
Do they know they're married?
I don't know that they're common law, apparently.
They're apparently. You can count them, Frog, said Toad. I will be too tired. I am going back to bed. Blah.
After they Toad, skipped and everything, they're going to go back to bed. After they skipped,
I mean, okay. You know, what else are they going to do? Toad went back into the house. He got into the bed and pulled the covers over his head again. Oh, Toad, cried Frog. Wow, Frog changes his voice quite a lot. You will miss all the fun. Listen, Frog, said Toad. How long have I been asleep? You have been asleep since November, said Frog. Well then, said Toad, a little more sleep will not hurt me. Come back again and wake me up at about half past May. Good night, Frog. I don't know what's wrong with Frog. But
well, that Toad is a curmudgeon.
He's a total curmudgeon, and I don't even know what that is, but he is whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Bah! Oh, no, that's not Toad's. Bah. That was about to be. Bah! That was almost. That was supposed to be Frog, and that was actually Toad, so apparently they're confused right now.
They're confused and questioning.
Yeah, they are very questioning so many things about their life right now. But Toad, said Frog, I will be lonely until then. Toad did not answer. He had fallen asleep. Frog looked at Toad's calendar. The November page was still on top. Frog tore off the November page.
Oh, no.
He tore, scandal. Mm-hmm. Gay drama going on, I tell you. He tore off the... I know, right? Right? He tore off the December page. He tore off the January page and the February page. And he tore off, you guessed it, the March page.
Yep, of course.
Exactly. He came to the April page. And guess what, Barely?
Did he tear it off?
He tore off the April page. Exactly. So that
But it's still April. He's fooling his friend Toad.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So right. Guess what? Frog ran back to Toad's bed. Toad, wake up. It is May now. What? Can it be May so soon? Yes, said Frog. Look at your calendar. Toad looked at the calendar and the May page was on top. Well, we saw that coming. We saw that coming from like 5 miles away. Come on.
Well, as soon as he started ripping off the calendar pages, we knew that was going
to
happen.
Like, we know. Do I need to finish reading this story? Probably not, because we know what's happening.
It was good foreshadowing on the part of the author.
It was so, like, I hope, author, you wanted us to know how it ended before it began, because, you won that one. Mm-hmm. Why, it is May, said Toad as he climbed out of bed. Then he and Frog ran outside to see how the world was looking in spring. The end. I think I'll save the next story for next time, actually.
I think you should save the next story for next time. That would be super deluxe. Yeah, well, we had a lot of commentary.
There was the dun-dun-dun and the,
yes,
if you will, and there was the hinder fruit being thrown at our fluff. I don't know. It happened.
There was much plufferdining going on.
There was so much plufferdining going on. Moo bark fluff every fur.
Okay, so now it's time for our great section on trivia. And as you know, we have a new game called I Should Have Known That.
I should have known that.
So, Tabin, I need you to give me, there's cards that have questions on it. I need you to give me a number between 1 and 20, and I will count out the cards, which you can't see, and I will ask the questions from that cards.
12.23.
See, I should have told you not to say a number like that. So 12, because rounding down, 12.23.
Okay, 12 works for me. That works.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Number 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Okay, are you ready for your first question? Do you have your Pup Logic hat on?
My Pup Logic hat is on the fluff.
Okay, are you ready? Okay, so the first question is, what are Seabiscuit, Black Beauty, and Shadowfax?
They are horses.
Wow, you didn't even need Those are horses. You are correct. Okay, number two. Question number two.
Shadowfax is Gandalf the Beard's horsey from Lord of the Rings.
Wow. That is not on the answer side of the card. So I am impressed that you know who that is. I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
I don't even know how I did that. Puppy logic worked really fast on
Puppy logic. Well, yeah, I mean, you clearly you're a puppy nerd because you knew that.
I'm very much a puppy nerd, as a matter of fact.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings, we'll get off the rails again. So recently,
if you will.
If I will. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? So there's apparently back in the early 2000s, the Russians made a version of Lord of the Rings.
Really?
And it has surfaced on YouTube. It's not anything like what we're used to.
Oh, okay.
And it is an adaptation of the Russian translated version of the Lord of the Rings.
I will have to check that out. I had not heard about this. So what, just go on YouTube and search for Russian Lord of the Rings or something?
It is all the rage right now. So it is very easy to find.
Awesome. But,
yeah.
Okay. Make sure that when you say rage, put in like rage music.
Question number two. What is a sound too low pitched for humans to hear? What is that sound called?
Inaudible.
Close. But yes, if you can't hear it, I guess it's inaudible. But much like infrared, where you can't see it, it's infrasound.
Infrasound. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
If you are inaudible, does that mean you are driving along in a nice little car? Because you're
inaudible. No, it's a cow. It's a male cow driving a car. Inaudible.
Yeah. Right. Yes. So you're either in audible or inaudible. Either way.
Inaudible. So, okay.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. A CEO is the director of a company. Hmm. What does the acronym CEO stand for?
Puppy Logic's going to have to help on this one. So CEO.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big wig that is in charge of a company. And so there's a wig. So there's a drag queen involved, apparently, because there's a big
apparently.
Wig.
Apparently, yes.
Apparently. So we've got a drag queen. So Lady Tequila Shots is dancing on stage with her cow. So there's the C, and then EO, CEO. A CEO is a cow that is educated in drag queenying, but O is for ostrich. So we've got a cow educating ostriches, so what CEO stands for.
Well, although cows may be educating ostriches, it stands for Chief Executive Officer.
You know, that makes a little bit more sense. So I'll I should have known that.
You should have known that. Now, I don't know whether you're going to know this, but it's a throwback to last week's Beetle joke, actually.
Oh, so could you remind me of last week's Beetle joke?
You said
not Beetlejuice,
but Beetle joke. So you said a joke about the teacher asked the class to use Beetles in a sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so John lost Ringo's Paul something or other.
But yeah, anyway. I remember. Yeah, okay.
So what famous designer is the daughter of Paul McCartney?
Daughter.
So she's gonna have the last name of Paul McCartney, clearly.
Okay. Yeah. So clearly, like a puppy logic. So clearly, like a blue lake is very clear. And it's McCartneyized. So there is a deck of cards in the glacier stream that is the Clear Lake. And Paul was a beetle who liked... of course. The beetle learned from the ostrich who learned from the cow, right?
Of course.
So that means that the daughter of Paul McCartney that was famous had to have been Cher.
Close. It was Stella.
Stella!
Hey, Stella!
Oh, Do you know what play that's from?
I don't, but I do know that Ken Jennings had that as an answer in one of the Jeopardy episodes.
It's from a play called A Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh, that is something I did not know. I cannot officially say that I should have known that.
No, and I wouldn't have known that anyway, but Stella McCartney is the designer.
Stella McCartney with her and her cards and her ostriches. I mean, how many years did she keep ostriches for?
A long time.
A long time. Oh, well,
she
that's
used
good
them
to know.
For food, clearly. So
clearly, there's clearly. That lake again, if there's you that, will.
It's clearly a lake, if you will.
Rails. Now,
what do you say? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, let's try that again. Do that again. Oh, we'll try this again.
If you will, we're off the rails.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go.
We did it. Wow, that was amazing.
Tabin, we're at the end. And
that's
it's the end of this,
amazing.
It's the end of the show, not the end of the world. And
good.
You know, we had a great time tonight. I think we had we have more and more fun every week that we do this.
It's really kind of scary.
I'm glad that everybody enjoys coming onto our show and talking with us and chatting with us and listening to us just go crazy sometimes. You know, I was going to say that we had a short episode, but this is not a short episode. This is a long episode.
I actually, believe it or not, I was trying to keep it short too because of longer pepper.
Right. We knew the Pepper's interview was longer, but we tried to keep it short. And guess what? We didn't do it. So anyway.
We didn't. So I'm sorry, every fur, but there is the fluff. Oh,
there
my
it is.
Cow.
That's why you should listen to podcasts at 1.5 or 2.0 speed, because you can get through stuff half as fast.
I wonder what it sounds like to hear. I should try that. I want to know what it sounds like to hear us. Like,
it's pretty funny. You should listen to it that way.
I want to know what it sounds like. The furry in the news thing that I do. I want to know what that sounds like. It
sounds like
speed.
At 2x speed.
So there's a talking port for any fur. Let us know. If you listen to me do my furries in the news thing at twice speed, write us about it and let us know what you thought about it.
Yes, please do. All right. So it was great having Pepper on the show today.
I sneezed a lot because of all the pepper on the show.
I know. It was a sneezy show. Sneezy. It was a sneezy show? I don't know
the
where we're going with this.
Show. The rails. So, the rails.
The rails are off. We're off them all the time. If you will.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. All right. So next week's episode is kind of a look back at the past year with some discussions with different furs about the podcast, as well as some clips from past year shows.
Because the end of season is the end of the season as we know it.
Tune in, because Tabin's going to ask me questions and I'm going to ask Tabin questions. And we're going to interview each other to kind of, instead of a guest, we're going to interview each other. So if you want to know anything about us, tune in next week. It's very important. And in May, we launch episode or season 2. Will it be different?
Why am I laughing?
I don't know. It might be the same. We don't know. It might be the same. It might be different. You don't know. Just tune in and listen. My guess is it's going to be pretty much the same stuff. I mean, you know, it's been an amazing year, Tabin. An amazing year. I couldn't think of any other better way to spend a year than with you doing this podcast.
Oh, yes, exactly. Thank you, Verily, for us doing this together. That I kind of tear up right now. My peppy eye, maybe it's the
pepper.
Pepper
in your eye.
Maybe it's the pepper in my eye, but there's a little bit of a tear up in my puppy eye. That one too. Yes, it's been a very amazing year with you, Verily, and I look forward. I wag. Well, I'm a pup. I do that all the time. But
I wag
even more for another wonderful year with you, Verily.
And I say to all our listeners, until next week, stay furry. Moo bark fluff.
Moo bark fluff, every fur. Thank you so much. Especially if you're still listening, thank you so much for all our supporters on Patreon and Ko-Fi, and even just listening to this. This means so much to us. So thank you much. We, of course, are looking forward to hugging you in the fluff again someday. It's happening. It's really exciting. The vaccination rollouts and everything. And it's just, I think things are getting better. It's really great. So until next time, thank you so much. Moo bark fluff. We wag, bark, bark.
Verily Furcasting is an Injured Nerves studio production and is found on all major podcast platforms
or can be heard directly at barelyfurcasting.com. The opinions expressed here are those of the hosts and their guests, and no commercial compensation was granted. The Furcast is produced, recorded, and directed by me, Barely Normal, aka Mike Began, and is edited by myself and our associate editors Rain Raccoon and Bixby Wolf. Opening and closing theme music, as well as some interstitial music, was created for Injured Nerves Productions for the use on the podcast by our music associate, Reg Day, with Damien Tanuki. If you would like to hear more of music by Reg Day, you can search for Tweezerbeak on Bandcamp or Hoop Loop Tunes on SoundCloud. Other interstitial and background music by Shane Ivers through SilvermanSound.com and the YouTube Free Use Library. If you would like to send us a message, you can do so via email at barelyfurcasting@gmail.com or on our Telegram chat at BFFTChat, on Twitter, on our Facebook page, or on the barelyfurcasting.com webpage. You can support the show through donations at ko-fi.com/barelyfurcasting or through Patreon at patreon.com/barelyfurcasting. Thanks for listening. We hope you come back and listen next week.